Hi, I'm Eric Dewey.
And this is Steve O'Mooney.
And I'm Matthew Renfro.
And we're Socially Awkward. You're listening to another great production on the Four Eyed Radio Network. Check out more shows at foureyedradio.com.
Today on Ranger Command Power Hour.
Why Skype? I paid $30 for your stupid Pamela program. Okay. You guys got the show notes open?
I'm
so done. Let's get tubular in the 90s. I don't even know.
No.
Oh, God.
I have my webcam on so you can see when I'm shaking my head. That is nonsense.
I had the window minimized and I opened it up and I was like, oh, AP's on.
I'm a person.
Really? I'm not just a disembodied voice.
Yay.
Wait, I'm gonna turn mine on.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God. With my broken headphones.
Turtle
nice.
Bye.
This is the worst.
I'm having flashbacks to the drunk cast all over again.
I need beer now!
And now on Ranger Command Power Hour.
Hey, aye, 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 aye. It's the Ranger Command Power Hour.
What's up? You have selected.
I love you.
Today on the Power Hour, extra episode 15, Rangers Love the 90s, recorded on March 23rd, 2016. Welcome to the Ranger Command Power Hour on the Four Eyed Radio Network. Some Ranger Up with your hosts. I'm Eric, also known as Trekkie B47.
I'm AP, also known as Secret Ranger Fan.
And I'm Zach, also known as the Cinema Slob.
This extra episode is brought to you by our patrons on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/RangerCommandPH to learn more about supporting Ranger Command Power Hour. Hey, dudes and dudettes, it's time to get totally tubular.
No.
Oh, God.
No.
No, no thanks.
Oh.
I'll stay off the tube. Thank you very much.
Just like you put
cowabunga!
And I are both just like, no, just you're done, no.
But I had this whole thing like planned out.
Zach's all the right. Only one who doesn't have his webcam on, so every time he talks, I picture him literally being like basically a cardboard cutout of this.
You are hearing me talk.
It's making it so much better. Go on.
All right, I wish I was that two-dimensional.
Well, this podcast is going to be huge. Was there any news, really, that came out in the past week? Not really, right?
No, the show's going to be on hiatus. It's going to suck.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's right. If you're listening to this on Saturday, you just watched the last new Dino Supercharge for the next 5 months. Good luck with that.
It's terrible.
Just go watch the first season again on Netflix.
The good part of Dino Charge?
Yeah, pretty much. Go watch Dino Charge Prime on Netflix. Pretend like the second season never happened.
Exactly.
Go watch Dino Thunder. It's probably better than the second season of Dino Charge.
Oh, God. At this point, I would take Tommy coming back. That's the only thing that's going to save Dino Supercharge at this point, is if Tommy is the Silver Ranger.
Oh, no. Don't give them ideas. Well, they can't have ideas because they're filmed it all already.
All right. Well, we're going to be talking about 90s children's television, and this was suggested by our patron, Doug. Me and him were just talking, and he likes Mystic Knights of Tir na n'og, and we're just going to dive straight into it. We're going to knock out all of the Saban 90s shows. So, obviously, there's Power Rangers. That's what our whole podcast is about. But there's also VR Troopers from 1994. And VR Troopers was a syndicated live-action superhero television series produced and distributed by Saban Entertainment from 1994 to 1996, created by Haim Saban, Shuki Levy, and the Toei Company. The show tried to profit off from the fascination with virtual reality in the early 1990s, as well as the success of Saban's other property, Power Rangers. VR Troopers was the first official sister series to Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and much like it, this was an Americanization of a Japanese tokusatsu children's program by Toei. So, did you guys watch VR Troopers?
I did. Oh, yeah. I watched it when it was on, and they filmed a lot in the area where I lived. So I would always watch, like, oh, I know that park. I know that road. I know that area.
Mm-hmm. A couple years ago when I bought the Shout Factory DVDs, I tried rewatching it.
No.
It's horrible.
It does not hold up.
It's bad.
It's pretty cheesy. And by pretty cheesy, I mean it's overly cheesy.
When we were at LexCon going to Mike Hollander's panel and just hearing all of his stories about the show, they all knew it was ridiculous when they were making it. Even the producers and the directors, they didn't give a crap. They were joking around so much, they barely got anything done. And it was amazing that anything was filmed at all. Yeah, we actually are in talks with Mike to do an interview with him, so look out for that in a future episode.
Yeah, that'll be fun. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he is. Next, we have Masked Rider from 1995. This was a direct spinoff of Power Rangers because the introduction of the Masked Rider character was in the three-part A Friend in Need episode, which actually aired a week before Masked Rider's debut. This was also created by Chaim Saban and Chuki Levy, and it aired on Fox as part of the Fox Kids program block from September 16th, 1995 to August 31st, 1996, and then it went in syndication for a year. Mm-hmm. I barely remember the show. Like, I remember watching it, but I couldn't tell you any specific details that happened. I just remember Furbus. There's crazy hijinks.
Everyone remembers Furbus.
And
I just vaguely remember the crossover episode that introduced it.
I actually rewatched A Friend in Need after we talked about, like, our crossovers episode. That version of Dex and his character is way better than the series, because the series made him kind of goofy and weird, not like the capable warrior he was in that three-parter. Mm-hmm. There's no DVDs or anything for this series, but all the rights are back to Saban, so who knows if they're ever going to release that. It'll probably be just as bad rewatching that.
The thing I know that Masked Rider has become famous for lately has been sort of a meme joke in a lot of the Kamen Rider threads on the M board on 4chan, which is a scene from an episode where there's a bunch of other Masked Riders.
Yeah.
Like, I think Sky Rider and X and some others, and they just name them just random whatever.
Yeah, I guess that was like the last episode of Masked Rider. There was like a two-part, and they used footage from Kamen Rider Black RX, which it was taken from. They totally mixed up the names of the past Kamen Riders. Mm-hmm. It was horrible.
I am Amazon!
I've seen that part.
And actually, if you look up on YouTube, Speed Racer Flubber, formerly of Dan's Tokurants, but he actually had this whole video like explaining that whole thing that happened.
Oh, that's cool.
It's actually really funny. Anyways, moving on to the next year in 96, Big Bad Beetleborgs, created by Chaim Saban, Chuki Levy, Toei Company, and Bug Boy Productions, which was kind of their production company that started with Masked Rider. Kind of like how in Power Rangers now, it's like PR Productions or whatever. Mm-hmm. So this actually aired for two seasons on Fox Kids between September 7th, 96 and March 2nd, 1998. Reruns later aired on UPN Kids from 98 to 99. I actually remember Big Bad Beetleborgs more. I remember liking it a lot.
This was my jam when I was a kid, okay?
Yeah.
This was like my show. I had to have the little Beetleborg figure, the little red one, because I like wanted to be the red Beetleborg for like the longest time.
That's awesome.
I remember having those. Yeah, I remember having the arm weapon that spun around and you could change the weapon out depending on which Beetleborg you wanted to be.
Nice.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Recently, I collected all of the Beat Fighter figure arts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they are awesome. You can do the spinny thing on the weapons. It's great. I really like Big Battle Beetleborgs because I liked the Hollywood monsters aspect of it. That was totally brought in just for the Americanized version of the show. I love their vehicles. I love the tanks, and they were flying, and it was really cool to me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then when they all went metallics and that, I remember that being like a big thing when they did the second season.
Yeah.
The promotion for that was everywhere.
Mm-hmm. They had toys at like Taco Bell or something. And I only remember because there was a Taco Bell right next to my grandmother's house at the time.
Uh-huh.
Every time I was at my grandmother's house, we had to go to Taco Bell so I could get all the Beetleborgs toys.
That is awesome.
My sister went on a field trip for her school to, I think it was Vasquez Canyon. And she's like, you never guess what I saw today. They were filming Beetleborgs, but they were different. One was gold and the other was purple. And I was like, you're making it up. And then like a month later, they're like, new Beetleborgs. And I was like, crap.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, this is when I, 96, so I would have been a freshman in high school. Even though I was kind of growing up out of the Power Rangers thing and not having enough time for it, I really like Beetleborgs. Like, it was just a really fun show for me. And they did the comic book thing awesomely with the different panels. It's something I wish SPD kind of took a cue from Beetleborgs. Moving on, Ninja Turtles, The Next Mutation from 1997. This was produced by Saban Entertainment, which ran on the Fox Kids Network between 97 and 98, based on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles published by Mirage Studios. The show was canceled in the summer of 98, despite solid ratings. The cancellation of the show marked the first time that the Turtles were off TV screens for a protracted period since the animated series debuted in 1987. And then, as we all know, a new animated series eventually began again airing in 2003. I never watched this.
Yeah, me neither.
Series. I collected the DVDs, though, so eventually I'm going to watch it. The only time I remember them showing up is from that In Space episode where they did the crossover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, why the hell is there a female Ninja Turtle?
More importantly, why does the female amphibian reptile, whatever, have boobs? That doesn't even make any sense.
Because they're the next mutation.
Well, let me tell you, she's got a fine mutation going on there.
Okay. Oh, it's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge. They are huge.
Okay. So I haven't seen the show, so I really can't comment on it.
Yeah.
In 1998 was Mystic Knights of Tir na n'Og, which is an Irish-American fantasy-adventure television series set in a fantasy version of ancient Ireland created by Saban Entertainment. It is loosely based on actual Irish mythology. The name derives from Tir na n'Og, one of the other worlds of Irish mythology. It was Saban's first fantasy series to involve knights, dragons, and wizards. It aired on Fox Kids Lock from September 1st, 1998, ending on May 7th, 1999. A second season entitled Mystic Knights Battle Thunder was planned, but was later canceled, and its budget was put towards Power Rangers Lost Galaxy. The resulting series was an attempt to do an original, non-Japanese special effects series, rather than adapting from an actual Japanese show.
I love that show.
I vaguely remember trying to watch it and then not watching it again.
I think I watched like only a handful of episodes because at that point I was like doing the work program in high school, so I never really saw it. But a few weeks ago when we were on Twitter, Zach, and then you found like the original theme.
Yeah, so like
by that band.
Yeah, there's like two different versions of the theme song. There's the one we got here in America, which was
Mystic Knights.
No. It's like very bland and meh. But then like the European version got this bad fantasy ballad, and I'm just like, this is a way better theme song. If they had done this in America, it might have caught on more.
Yeah, and apparently it's from some Irish family band.
Yeah, the Kelly family.
Yeah, the Kelly family. And their version of this, like, took off.
Yeah.
Overseas.
Like, it became, this, like, it was actually on the pop charts. Like, that's how popular it was.
Yeah, which is crazy. And it's actually a really
fucking theme.
Yeah.
It's got like this pipe flute solo in there. And I'm like, I never knew a pipe flute could rock that much.
Like, I remember watching a lot of it, but apparently there was a good chunk of the series I missed. Because did you know they got a fifth knight at one point?
No, I didn't even know that.
They had a fifth knight who was a prince from a faraway land, and his whole thing was forest themed. So his armor was like brown and green and gold, and it looked really badass. And he was their Tommy, essentially. Like, I think he started evil, but then, like, he became good.
Okay.
It was really interesting, and, like, I want to go back and see if I can find those episodes anywhere on the internet to watch them and just learn more, because it was really cool.
So that kind of completes the Saban live-action series, other than Power Rangers. And we're going to talk about two more that totally trying to capitalize on Power Rangers' popularity. The first was Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, which aired in 94. It was actually produced by Tsuburaya Productions, Ultracom, and DIC Entertainment, or DEEK, with distribution by All American Television. So this was totally syndicated. Mm-hmm. It was an adaptation of the Japanese toku series Denko Chojin Gridman, which was produced by Tsuburaya Productions. The series was originally going to be named Power Boy, but was renamed Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad to avoid confusion with Saban Entertainment's Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. More than anything else, this was a quick-to-market slam dunk to capitalize on the upsurge in popularity of imported Japanese monster robot shows, which could be adapted with new, regionalized live-action footage. I freaking loved Superhuman Samurai.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I have the DVDs. They did a couple volumes that have the whole series. It had Tim Curry in it.
Yeah.
Voicing the main villain. Tim Curry is an awesome bad guy, no matter what you put him in.
Mm-hmm.
It also had, Lawrence. What was his name?
Matthew Lawrence.
Matthew Lawrence.
Yeah.
And he was coming off of, like, Mrs. Doubtfire fame.
Yeah.
So that was, like, their big, hey, we have Matthew Lawrence. He stars in this new show.
That is so 90s. Who's your breakable star? Matthew Lawrence. You've got a hit!
And when I got the DVDs, I started watching it, and I have to say, it is still cheesy, but I think it held up better than like something like VR Troopers did. Mm-hmm. The plot lines were a little bit more universal because they were in high school, but if you try to marathon any of these, you start seeing the same sets over and over again, and everything just kind of like blends together. So I don't recommend marathoning these.
Yeah.
And then finally, we have Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills. It was also a Deke Entertainment production and aired on the USA Network during the 94-95 season. Reruns of the show later aired as part of Cookie Jar Toons block on This TV from 2011 to 2012. I actually vaguely remember this. I remember the theme song being kind of catchy.
You know, it's funny, when I was doing my Cinema Slob shtick, when I would review bad movies and what have you, on the site that I was on, another reviewer by the name of Mr. Mendo had a show called Mr. Mendo's Hack Attack, and we did an episode crossover where we talked about Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills. And it is the worst in the best way.
It is. Those DVDs are also out, too. They put out, like, a one-volume collection of it.
Yeah.
I think, like, it was Mill Creek Entertainment that did that.
Their leader was a giant tub of snot called Nimbar.
Yeah, Nimbar. He would basically talk like Zordon. It's Nimbar.
Yeah, pretty much. And he was voiced by Glenn Shaddix, who most folks would remember as Otho from Beetlejuice.
Oh my god. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, how can I forget that? His voice is, like, super distinctive.
Yeah. Me and Mr. Mendo, we did a whole video on it, and you can check this out. I think it's still up on the site. I'll provide a link in the link dump for people to check out if they want to watch that.
All right, cool.
Because we watched the first episode and just do a little commentary on it. And, like, it's weird. All of these guys have melee weapons, but what do they do with them? They shoot lasers.
That was so weird, because didn't one of them have, like, a trident and just kind of went, thinking Tir-na-Nog?
It looked like that was the trident was Tir-na-Nog, but one of them had, like, I call them the ear cleaners from American Gladiators, where it's got the big things on the side of it.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, he would put... I forget which one. He
oh,
or
my
she,
God. AP linked the opening.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. Their masks were horrible.
Yeah. You can tell they just hired weightlifters or something.
Yeah. That vaguely looked like the people.
Yeah. I just found it funny that they all had these melee weapons that shoot lasers instead of actually being weapons.
Oh, my God. This is horrible.
What have you done, AP? I like that I can hear it through Eric's setup, so I don't have to listen to it.
Okay, I gotta stop this. This is horrible.
That's Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills.
So now I figured we'd talk about the various kids' television blocks that were going on in the 90s and see if you guys remember any of these. Obviously, it all started with Fox Kids for Power Rangers for a lot of us. Much of the Fox Kids lineup's early program was produced by Warner Brothers Animation. Two of Fox Kids' most popular programs, Animaniacs and Batman the Animated Series, moved to the WB when that network launched in January 1995. And I remember, or no, I'm thinking UPN. Well, UPN also launched in 95, but in some stations they like shared the channel just because it was syndicated, and that's why they eventually merged and became the CW later on. Mm-hmm. But anyways, both Animaniacs and Batman served as the linchpin of WB's new children's block, Kids WB, when it launched in September that year. In 96, Saban Entertainment acquired 50% ownership interest in Fox Kids to form Fox Kids Worldwide Inc., later renamed Fox Family Worldwide. Some Fox Kids programming also aired on the Fox Family Channel, which then became ABC Family and is now Freeform. In 98, Fox bought out its affiliates' interest in Fox Kids as part of a deal to help pay for the network's expensive NFL package. The Fox Kids weekday block was reduced to 2 hours in an effort to help its affiliates comply with recently implemented educational programming mandates defined by the Children's Television Act. Reruns of the former PBS series The Magic School Bus was added to the lineup. Fox Kids had shows like Bobby's World, Swamp Thing, Tom and Jerry Kids, Beetlejuice, Dark Water, Tasmania, like we said, Batman the Animated Series, which I love.
That's
my Batman.
Exactly. I'm with you on that one. That is quintessential Batman right there.
Yeah. Eek the Cat, if you guys remember that one.
I remember that one.
Tiny Toon Adventures, X-Men, Spider-Man, The Tick, Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego, Goosebumps, Sea-Bear and Jamal. I remember that being a thing.
Vaguely.
The Adventures of Sam and Max, Erie, Indiana, which at that point was just reruns, but it was still an early 90s show. Round the Twist, I don't remember that one.
Never heard of that one.
Young Hercules. I do remember watching that because I was a big Hercules and Xena fan back in the day. They also had Beast Machines and Big Guy and Rusty the Boy Robot, and then Digimon Digital Monsters, which is now its 15th anniversary. Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd Century. I don't even remember that one.
I vaguely do. Yeah, that one sounds familiar.
Spider-Man Unlimited and Zyber 9. So that was Fox Kids. What was like your favorite programs besides Power Rangers on Fox Kids?
Most of the lineup, I think.
Yeah.
I like remember pretty much every single one of these. Like even just, I remember watching pretty much every single one of these, except for maybe a couple of them.
Like I said, I probably trailed off after Big Bad Beetleborgs, but God, I love Tiny Toons and Animaniacs. That was
I was such a Tasmania kid.
Nice.
Funny.
Yeah, Animaniacs was my jam always. I was watching that. To this day, I'll find myself like flipping through the iPod and Yakko's World will come up, but I'll be like, United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru. Granted, there are many more countries now and countries have changed, so that song isn't exactly 100% accurate anymore, but that's okay.
Yeah.
When Spider-Man cartoons they had.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
I vividly remember that.
Oh, yeah.
I remember watching that at my grandma's house one time, and she was watching it with me, and she goes, isn't this a little too mature for you to be watching? I'm like, Grandma, what are you talking about? Spider-Man. Because, like, I think it was, like, the episode where Gwen Stacy died, or not Gwen Stacy, because she wasn't included in the series, but when they had Mary Jane die in Gwen Stacy's place, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But even Batman the Animated Series, like, it was cool as kids, But I can still watch it as an adult. Like, yeah. I can still get something out of it. Next, we're going to move on to the Disney Afternoon, which ran from 1990 to 97. I love the hell out of the Disney Afternoon. So this was a two-hour syndicated animated television block produced by Walt Disney Animation and distributed through Buena Vista Television. Before and after its cancellation, shows on the block were rerun both on the Disney Channel during the mid to late 90s and on Toon Disney. This had shows like DuckTales, Tailspin, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, Darkwing Duck, Gargoyles, and the Mighty Ducks. I watched all of these religiously.
Mm-hmm.
I love Darkwing Duck. I think I had like most of the toys from Darkwing Duck. I even had his like plane thing that was shaped like his head.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And Gargoyles, oh my god, that was such a great show.
Gargoyles is, again, one of those where you can still watch it now as an adult and get enjoyment out of it.
Gargoyles had such a connection to Star Trek. There were so many Star Trek actors that did voice work on Gargoyles. It was such a great show. I love Chip and Dale. I loved all of those. I have fond memories of getting out of school and watching those shows.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember the episode of Chip and Dale where there's a soda cult, and every so often the song from that episode will just pop into my head.
Oh.
And like I'll be like, why? Why in the world? Like, I haven't seen that episode in 20 some odd years, and just, nope, there's that theme song blaring in my head.
Anything else about the Disney Afternoon? Did you guys watch it?
I want a Gargoyles live action movie.
I, like, vaguely remember it, but I don't remember any of these shows, really.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're much younger than us.
Well, no. Like, I watched, like, yeah, I was watching this stuff. Like, I vaguely remember, like,
Don't worry, AP. We'll do I Love the 2000s next time, and then we can...
Oh.
Oh.
I love the 2000s. Oh my god. God, I can still sing that Chip and Dale song.
Mm-hmm.
These two gumshoes. Okay.
Picking up the slack. There's no case too big, no case too small. When you need help, just call.
Chip and Dale.
Rescue Rangers. Okay, sorry. You started it. Your fault.
We'll move on to the Kids WB. Kids WB debuted on the WB television network on September 9th, 1995. Which was the same day as the release date for the PlayStation console in North America. And here's something for us in Chicago. Although the Kids WB block aired almost all of the WB affiliated stations, the network's Chicago affiliate, WGN-TV, declined to carry the weekday and Saturday blocks in order to air its weekday and Saturday morning newscasts and other locally produced programming, such as the Bozo Super Sunday Show in the morning hours and syndicated programming in the afternoons.
So wait, nobody in Chicago got to watch this stuff?
They did if you had, like, there was another WGN station. I think it was, like, through some cable providers. But since they were syndicated, they must have been on another channel because I remember watching all of these shows.
Yeah.
So, obviously, Animaniacs, Batman Beyond, Freakazoid, the new Batman Adventures, and the new Batman Superman Adventures, Pinky and the Brain, Superman Animated Series, Sylvester and Tweety Mysteries, and Tiny Toon Adventures.
I loved the Kids WB.
Yeah.
I remember the frog.
Yeah.
The frog is the mascot.
I remember watching, I can't remember which one of these like Superman or Batman ones it was, but It was Superman and Batman like were meeting each other, and the animation for each of them was like the same. Like they looked the exact same.
Yeah.
When they were out of costume, and I was like, I can't tell which one it is. Like,
oh, you mean Bruce Wayne? And
Bruce Wayne looked like Clark Kent, yeah.
Yeah, like exactly like him. Like The drawing was not different at all.
Except Clark Kent had the glasses, and that's the only reason you could tell.
And I was like, are they the same person? For some reason, I couldn't grasp that for a while.
Okay, Men in Black.
Yes. Men in Black, the anime series, was my jam when I was a kid. It was so dark. Like, all the aliens had these really crazy designs, and it was a great series.
Yeah, I do remember them having pretty crazy designs. I also loved Batman Beyond.
Yeah, Batman Beyond.
Such a great show.
That's still one of my favorite Batman costumes. In the modern Arkham games, when you can be the Batman costume and fly around Gotham like that, it's awesome.
It's pretty cool. All right, this is one of my favorite television blocks, Toonami. Toonami was Cartoon Network's primary action animation block, which premiered on March 17th, 1997. It initially replaced Power Zone, which was Cartoon Network's recent incarnation of the Super Adventures block, which had been a staple on the network since 1992. Toonami was originally a weekday afternoon cartoon and action block hosted by Space Ghost villain-turned-producer Moltar at Ghost Planet Industries from 97 to 99. And then later they switched to Tom and the Absolution. But yeah, since we're focusing on the 90s, it was all about Toonami.
Toonami is one of those blocks that, like, I know a lot of people are huge fans of, and I just was never into it, just because I didn't have Cartoon Network when I was a kid growing up.
Oh, okay.
It was part of, like, the premium cable package, and we were kind of poor, but, but, like, you know, even now as an adult, where it's, like, nowadays Toonami just basically shows anime and stuff, right, where I'm just like, well, I don't really care. So
it kind of morphed from Toonami to Adult Swim, and they both share the same thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Tom is still going strong and still, like, the primary for animation.
I remember there was a huge fervor online when they were bringing Tom back, and everyone's like, oh my god, Toonami's coming back! Ah! And I'm just,
yeah,
like,
there was even that rap that went viral by a rapper named Richie Branson, and it was called Toonami's Back, B****s. He's got some great music if you guys get a chance to check him out. But yeah, I love Toonami. It was awesome. Moving on to UPN Kids, which was then branded the UPN Kids Action Zone during the 98-99 season. It aired on UPN from September 10th, 1995 to September 5th, 1999. Animated series included The Fantastic Four, The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man, Jumanji, Space Strikers, I don't even remember that one, Techno Man, never heard of that either, X-Men, and they moved some of the live-action reruns, which included Beetleborgs, but they also aired Breaker High and Sweet Valley High. I don't think I watched much of UPN Kids.
Yeah, I don't recall watching much. I think I watched maybe a couple of episodes of Jumanji.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was really the time where I stopped caring so much about cartoons and stuff like that.
Right. I only remember the Fantastic Four being kind of a crappy cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, we only got a couple left. The USA Cartoon Express was a programming block which aired on the USA Network from late 1982 to September 15th, 1996. The Express was the first structured animation block on cable television, predating Nickelodeon's animation blocks by half a decade and Cartoon Network by more than a decade. There was also the USA Action Extreme Team, which began in 95 and took over the Cartoon Express block, but the whole block ended in 1998 when the network permanently removed children's programming. And these included rerun airings of The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, the Sonic the Hedgehog Saturday morning cartoon, which I am a huge fan of, the Double Dragon cartoon, Mighty Max, Mortal Kombat, Defenders of the Realm,
yeah,
Street Fighter, Street Sharks, and Wildcats.
Yeah, I remember watching Mortal Kombat, Defenders of the Realm, and it shattered my perceptions of, like, characters. Because when they had, like, oh, here's Sub-Zero, and he's hanging out with Sonya and Liu Kang. So Sub-Zero's one of the good guys? Man, I always thought he was a bad guy. This is confusing. It kind of blew my childhood mind a little bit.
USA was one of those channels we had, but I never really tuned into it for the programming. And I know at one point that's where Tattoo Teenage Alien Fires from Beverly Hills aired.
Yeah.
But finally, Nickelodeon.
Yes. So
in June 7th, 1990, Nickelodeon opened Nickelodeon Studios, which became a hybrid television production family attraction at Universal Studios Florida in Orlando, Florida, where many of its sitcoms and game shows were filmed. Did any of you guys actually get to go there?
Yes.
I never.
Yes.
I did, yes. Technically before it was open.
I got to go to this. This was like, yeah. I think I went in 96 because it was just before I went to high school. And my brother was like less than a year old. And we drove down to Florida because my dad's boss at the time had like a summer home down there. So we just stayed there. And we went to Universal Studios, and I remember being so excited to go to Nickelodeon Studios, and we got the whole tour, and I think we sat in for a bit of filming. I think it was like Kenan and Kel, or they were filming something.
They had this hallway with windows where you could see into each of the studios. When I went, I got to see them do like stuff like the Nick Gas. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I remember Gas, yeah.
And I saw them do that, and then I can't remember what else I saw, but I definitely saw them doing that.
My trip when I went was long before, actually, it was even Nickelodeon Studios. It was still Universal Studios, because that's where we filmed Parenthood, was down there in Orlando.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. Yeah.
And one day, they took the kids, and we got to go on the Double Dare set.
Oh, wow.
Like, they were just building it, and we got there. I have pictures of me and my two co-stars in the giant hamster wheel and, like, in the thing where, like, the boots come down and stuff.
Oh, my God. That's so awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find those pictures and put those up on for a Throwback Thursday.
I remember once you were done the tour, they led you into, like, this auditorium thing where you got to do these games and, like, let you do games that were on Double Dare and stuff like that.
That's cool.
I didn't get to do that. That sounds cool.
I got chosen for one of them.
What?
It was this thing where these two, I think it was like two adults and like two kids were chosen because the adults had to wear these giant milk costumes. And the kids got these giant foam cookies that we had to throw into the costumes. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I was having the time of my life throwing these cookies at this person, and I was like, it was amazing.
That is so awesome. I might have to dig up my pictures because I had one of like a little point and shoot film camera, and I actually made a journal. And once I got the pictures developed, I like pasted the pictures in the journal, and I still have that because I came across it like a couple years ago. But there's me like in front of the Nickelodeon like sign, and it's so cool. Nickelodeon was totally my jam back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I watched literally every single one of their shows. I was obsessed.
Remember Stick Stickley?
Yes. Write to me, Stick Stickley, P.O. Box 963, New York City, New York State, 10108.
I was so obsessed with Nickelodeon, and I love Stick Stickley. I made my own Stick Stickley.
I did too.
With the googly eyes.
Are not alone on that one, my friend.
At the grocery store we went to, they had the magazines. Nick Magazine was always right there. Mm-hmm. And somehow I always managed to convince, like, I never got a subscription, which is what I wanted. But every now and then I managed to convince my mom to get me the Nickelodeon magazine.
I think my sister and I had a subscription for a year once because my birthday I got it.
I felt like the coolest kid ever every time I got
those magazines. Were awesome.
The magazine that I subscribed to was Disney Adventures.
Yes, I had all those.
I had a ton of those.
The first one I ever got was the one with the Rocketeer on the cover.
Yes, I think that was the actual first one.
Oh, was it? Okay,
awesome. That was like the first issue. Oh, man. And they had a bunch of Power Rangers on the cover.
Yep. That is definitely one of the ones I remember getting in the mail. And like, oh, my God, Power Rangers.
All right. Let's get back to Nickelodeon. So on August 11, 1991, Nickelodeon debuted its first original animated series, Doug, Rugrats, and the Ren and Stimpy Show, under the Nicktoons banner.
Yes.
The series found success by 1993, resulting in the creation of the network's fourth Nicktoon, Rocko's Modern Life.
Yes.
Which also became a success. In 1994, Nickelodeon debuted the Nicktoon Ah! Real Monsters, which would also become another hit. Mm-hmm. I remember my dad actually really liking Real Monsters for some reason. Like,
I remember not being allowed to watch the Ren and Stimpy show.
Yeah.
It was way too dirty. Would not let me watch it.
I do remember it being pretty gross at times. Yeah. But SpongeBob still does that. Like,
no, it had a lot of like clear sexual innuendo in the Ren and Stimpy show.
Oh, yeah.
It was like not even trying to hide it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I loved Ren and Stimpy, Powder Toast Man. I remember
that. Yeah.
Yeah, just, oh, God.
Cling tenaciously to my buttocks.
Yes. But yeah, it was just one of those shows, like, that's what really got, like, that whole, like, close-up, gross, realistic, like, animation. But that still happens in, like, SpongeBob and some of these other shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Getting back, on August 15th, 1992, the network extended its Saturday schedule by 2 hours with the launch of the primetime block called SNCC. Over the years, SNCC became home to shows such as Are You Afraid of the Dark?, Clarissa Explains It All That, The Amanda Show, and Kenan and Kel. I was a huge fan of All That.
SNCC. Yes. SNCC as a block was my jam. When we were kids growing up, me and my sister, every other Saturday, we would go to my dad's house for the weekend.
Yeah.
And we would always, the three of us, stay up and watch SNCC, and he'd make popcorn. And like it's one of like a fond memory from my childhood is all of us watching SNCC together. I would constantly torment my sister, who was piss scared of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
That was good show.
I had this friend who lived down the street. She used to come over and there was these rocks in my backyard in the woods. We would push all the rocks together, like the rocks in Are You Afraid of the Dark?
What?
throw dirt on the rocks like we were starting the campfire, and I was obsessed.
That was such a good show. I need to find the DVDs of that show.
I love Secret World of Alex Mack.
Yes.
Oh my God. I wanted to be her, like, so much, okay? You have no idea. I wore backwards baseball caps for about a year and a half.
I had the biggest crush on her when I was that age.
Oh, me too.
Like, oh my gosh.
And so many people, I made people call me Alex Mack.
That's awesome.
I wore hats backwards and I made people call me her name. I wanted to have the power to turn into metallic goo.
the telekinetic, like, lightning bolt.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. So, lastly, there were shows like Kablam, Hey Arnold, The Angry Beavers, Cat Dog, Oh Yeah Cartoons, The Wild Thornberries, and then live-action shows like The Adventures of Pete and Pete, Hey Dude, Clarissa Explains All, Salute Your Shorts, Secret World of Alex Mack, Space Cases.
Yes.
I was obsessed with that show.
And wasn't Walter Jones on that, too?
Yes, he was.
Yes.
And that's why I was like, dude, you're from Power Rangers. Kenan and Kel, The Mystery Files of Shelby Woo, The Journey of Alan Strange, and Animorphs.
Yes.
I was obsessed with Animorphs.
Yes, me too. I read all those books when I was a kid.
It was a good time.
It was all that stuff. Like, I own The Adventures of Pete and Pete on DVD. That's how much I like that show. I have, I think, the three seasons that they released on DVD.
I vividly remember the mom with the metal plate in her head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The tattoo, all that stuff.
Yeah. Artie, the strongest man in the world.
Yes.
In the world. In the world, my little Viking. You would always say stuff like, I love that show. That is probably one of my favorite Nick shows from the 90s.
For some reason, I really liked Hey Dude.
I don't really remember much of Hey Dude.
And neither do I.
The only thing I remember is the one episode where they find out that the owner is sleepwalking. For some reason, that's the only episode that sticks out in my head.
Oh, crazy. If I had to rate any of them, I would say Nickelodeon and Fox Kids were pretty much my top go-tos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They were the top contenders. Kids WB was like a close third, but the obvious top of the hill battle was between Fox and Nick.
But for me, the early, like the super early 90s, this is when I still lived in Georgia. The Disney Afternoon was it for me because I obsessed over Darkwing Duck and all of those shows. Mm-hmm. I remember getting home from school and just watching the Disney Afternoon, and then I'd have to do my homework before dinner. So, yeah, the Disney Afternoon, but then it was all Fox Kids Nickelodeon, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You guys remember Welcome to Wienerville?
Yes. Yeah. How could I not forget that?
Oh,
Mark Wiener and Mark all of his Wiener, puppets. Wienerville,
yeah. I just remember like it always opened with Welcome to Wienerville. Oh!
And he, yeah, it was like his head on the little puppet body. Yeah. It was kind of creepy. All right, so we're going to get to our Ranger Nation answers question, which was, aside from Power Rangers, what is your favorite 90s era children's television show? AP, I'm going to start with you. It had to be Alex Mack, right?
Yeah, like I literally wanted to be her.
Yeah.
I had to have overalls, wore my hats backwards, made people call me Alex Mack. It was a little weird. Actually, no, it was a lot weird. I was literally obsessed with that show.
Should we just call you AM from now on instead of AP?
AM. Zach, what's your favorite TV show from the 90s?
You know, there are just so many. Spider-Man, Batman, those classic superhero cartoons. But yeah, everything on the Nick lineup was just amazing to watch. And I remember, like, wishing that I could have backyard bonfires like the kids in Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely. Pretty much the entire Nick lineup, like, on top of mm-hmm. Alex Mack was probably the top one because of how far I took that. Literally the entire Nick lineup.
For me, it has to be Batman the Animated Series. I also obsessed with Space Cases. I loved Alex Mack. Those really stood out in my mind. But I also obsessed with Sonic the Hedgehog. I didn't like The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. Screw that one. But the Saturday morning version, which was like the more serious take on it, with like Princess Sally and Robotnik, and I obsessed with that show. So those are probably my favorites. So we have a ton of answers that our listeners provide. We have 48 answers.
Oh, God.
Between Twitter and Facebook.
Let's put 1 through 48 in a hat. We'll draw out about 10 of them.
No, we're going to list all of them. Bookworm Laura at Laura8759 said, I had too many to name.
Ryan Cox at RyanCox20, all the superhero shows from Marvel and DC from that time. Batman the Animated Series, Fantastic Four, and X-Men. Oh, I forgot Hey Arnold.
The Ranger Talk at The Ranger Talk says, Digimon for sure.
Tuxedo underscore Mass 23 said, Spider-Man the Animated Series, among other shows.
Mini Moon 132002 said, I grew up with Barney as a child, and I love watching all that, and Clarissa Explains It All. Also, Kenan and Kel, I got hooked back to the Mystery Files of Shelby Woo and Ghost Rider. Watching Figure It Out and Legends of the Hidden Temple. I also wanted to be on Ghost Rider.
We had to talk about Ghost Rider because
I wore pens around my neck. I carried around a notebook. It was really bad. It was really bad.
I really loved that show. And it was cool because it was a mystery. Like, is he a ghost? Like, what is he? Did you guys ever remember what his origin was?
They never actually said it on the show, but afterwards, I think someone said that he was, like, a slave. He was, like, formerly a slave.
Yeah, he was a former slave that learned to read and write, and then he died.
That sounds familiar.
And he tried helping kids on the Underground Railroad. That's why when he's Ghost Rider, he's helping kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, like, a really kind of deep story.
Yeah. It's super deep.
It's pretty deep when you think about one of the episodes was they're fighting a giant bubblegum monster.
Yeah, it's probably why they never said that on the show.
Yeah.
It's probably an afterthought.
I still think the Gooey Gus episodes are, like, the standout episodes.
But then, I mean, I just remember that. Like, it's like, Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Word.
Remember them dancing, like hip-hop dancing during the opening credits?
Mm-hmm.
And they definitely had, like, one of those, like, turn to the camera openings.
Yes.
For you audio listeners who can't see, Eric literally just turned in his chair and did it into the camera. And it was glorious.
And now he's doing thumbs up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Visual gags on an audio podcast.
Woo!
We got to talk briefly about Legends of the Hidden Temple. It's coming back!
Yeah.
Oh.
It's going to be a live-action TV movie, and Kirk Fogg is coming back to do it.
Variety just announced that today, and he's like, He's like, yeah, I have my blue denim shirt in
it. He's like, yeah, I kept it
1995.
I kept it sealed in a closet. It's ready to go. Anytime Nickelodeon needs me to be Kirk Fogg, I'm just...
I loved Figure It Out and Legends of the Hidden Temple. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be on them. I wanted to be on both of them so bad.
I wanted to be on Nick Arcade.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nick Arcade was the sh**.
They started they were showing reruns of that like real late at night on Nick Gas at some point.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
And I remember me and my cousin, we would, whenever she was at my house, because I got Nick Gas and she didn't, we would stay up all night just to mm-hmm. watch Nick Arcade.
Yes.
And it was like an event.
But like it was always the cheesiest, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but like the challenge is get 50 rings in Sonic, and these, like,
yeah,
these kids couldn't do it. And I'm just like, oh, are you crazy? My eyes closed. Come on.
I thought that, like, putting them into the video game was the coolest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Virtual reality. Whoa.
Maybe we'll get a new version of that now that VR is becoming a thing again.
Yeah, no kidding. What was Figure It Out? I don't remember that.
Figure It Out was...
Summer Sanders, former U.S. Olympian.
Oh, yeah!
The kids who had the talents, and then mm-hmm. the Nick stars on the panel, and they had to guess from the Billy the Answer Head.
Yes!
They did certain things, they would get slimed, and the people in the audience won prizes, and...
Okay, I remember that. As soon as you said Summer Sanders, it was like...
It just came flooding back, yeah. Oh, I'm trying to remember the name of it now. It had the aggro crag, come on.
Guts.
Guts!
Yes!
You have it. Guts!
Yes. Yes!
Oh my god.
The mini Olympics for kids was awesome.
Someone like sold their aggro crag trophy on eBay.
Really?
Holy crap. It went
for like thousands of dollars.
Holy shit!
Someone paid like thousands of dollars for the aggro crag.
That's awesome. Pokemon trainer Scott at DigiRanger1994 says, Pokemon, Digimon, Batman the Animated Series, Batman Beyond, Rugrats, Powerpuff Girls, Recess, Animaniacs, Tiny Toons.
Richie at RichFit85 said, so many, but mainly X-Men / Spider-Man, Gargoyles, Captain Planet, Ghost Rider, and the Carmen Sandiego game show. I love that game show.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Do it, Rockapella.
Do what, boop it up, do
what. I have that song on my iPod, like, not gonna lie. That's my jam.
I love Captain Planet. Mm-hmm. That was a great show.
When I got my senior class ring, I got my birthstone in it, which is a garnet. And uh-huh. So the first time I put it on, I'm just like, fire! Granted, I'm 18. I'm a senior in high school. I'm fire!
I just remember like heart going like whoa 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 whoa.
Yeah, whoa, whoa, whoa. it was like proto dubstep.
Yeah. It's the swag force.
Oh no, we're not doing that.
If you put that into the show again,
it would be awesome, right? Like instant win points.
No.
Okay, RJ sells Ichi Hopper 77 at Anime Redneck 96. Sorry. I'm thinking of the RPG game. I don't know if you guys watched the demo that Chris posted, but...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, color me plum disappointed.
He said Mobile Fighter G Gundam.
Josh at Talkin' Tanuki says, Nicktoons, Batman the Animated Series, VR Troopers, Beetleborgs, TMNT, and Tiny Toon Adventures, just to name a few.
Kamen Rider Jester at Lissandro said Pokemon.
Lee Roberts at Lee Roberts VO said The Bots Master, Extreme Dinosaurs, and Street Sharks. Ooh, am I the only one who remembers Captain Simian and Space Monkeys?
Pretty sure you are the only one.
Vaguely, yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Very vaguely. Pocky Squirrel at Pocky Squirrel says Captain Planet, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, All That, Animaniacs, Space Cases, and Reboot.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Reboot.
Yeah, we didn't.
I love Reboot.
She also says, wow, and I'd be remiss if I didn't add pretty much everything that aired on the TGIF block.
Yeah. Were those really kid shows? Well, it was family friendly.
It was family shows. And I mean, I remember watching all that crap, yeah.
Oh, did I mention Sister Sister?
Sister Sister! I never knew how much I missed you.
I thought that was amazing. Anyway.
Did you secretly hope that one day you'd be shopping in a department store and run into your own twin?
Yeah.
Leishan Sammy at Abigail Parker said, she's from the UK. I had to look this up. She said, mostly Enid Blyton's adventure series. And of course, cartoons like Rugrats and DuckTales. I had to look up what the adventure series was in the UK. Mm-hmm. And apparently it was based off her books because she was a writer.
That's cool.
So they were just kids that discovering and solving mysteries without much adult assistance, blah, blah, blah. The books were like the Island of Adventure, the Valley of Adventure, mm-hmm. the Ship of Adventure. Moving on.
Shinji at Tora X Shinji said, "Hey, Arnold. Dragon Ball Z, Big Bad Beetleborgs, and Dexter's Laboratory."
I love Dexter's Lab. It's a good show.
Dexter's Lab was a good one. Fize at Ginga Green says, "I honestly only caught the tail end of the 90s, born 96, but I was super into the Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain."
Juo Carey at Carey Clan responded to Ginga Green and said, "I was born in 97. I just watched a bunch of old Hanna-Barbera cartoons. Was raised on Godzilla and Gamera movies, though."
AP at Secret Ranger Fan said, "Rugrats, The Mystery Files of Shelby Woo, Ghost Rider, Alex Mack." And also, this wasn't one of my favorites, but I just remembered it for some reason. Uh-huh. It was called Walter Melon. And I only remember it because they had this sketch where it was like a Power Rangers type parody. And it was, I just found the picture of it too. I'll put it in the chat box. Yeah, Walter Melon.
I never watched this show.
This is like Spanish language video, but you get the gist. They literally look like the Power Rangers. And
they do.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
The Legacy Ranger at The Legacy Ranger says, "Loved shows like Erie, Indiana and The Secret World of Alex Mack."
AJ Bassa at underscore AJ Bassa said, "Top five, X-Men, Spider-Man, Gummy Bears, Secret World of Alex Mack, the OG TMNT, and Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters, LOL."
Talisman at Sir underscore Tally just posted a picture of the Angry Beavers. So, yeah. Angry Beavers.
John at Tyranno John says, "Spider-Man the Animated Series, Captain Planet, Goosebumps, Animaniacs, Dexter's Lab, Dragon Ball Z, and Ed, Edd n Eddy."
You know what? My brother loved Ed, Edd n Eddy. I just couldn't get into it.
I think it was like we were out of that range.
Yeah, yeah.
I vaguely remember it, but only because I didn't get Cartoon Network as a kid.
Mm.
And I only got to watch it when I visited my grandmother, because she got all the cool channels.
Joshua Perry at RiderRanger335 said, "SpongeBob came out in 99, so does that count?" It absolutely counts.
Yes.
And I can't believe it's gone this long. Holy crap.
Right? Holy cow.
I would be lying if I said I didn't watch it sometimes.
I usually catch the last 5 minutes when I turn on the TV waiting for Power Rangers.
Power Rangers.
It's not that bad. Kyle at Deadpool underscore Ranger said, "Spider-Man the Animated Series, Pokemon."
At Twitching Fool Zero says, "Gargoyles and Transformers. It doesn't get better than that."
It doesn't. Fallout Kylo Ren at Pandu Depan said, "Gonna throw everyone a doozy. Wild West Cowboys of Moo Mesa. Also Animorphs and SWAT Cats."
I remember the Cowboys of Moo Mesa. It was weird because they were actual. It was another TMNT ripoff where the cowboys were cows.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Sounds horrible.
It was like, I think from an alien planet or something. I don't remember.
Vince Ariola at Bryce Packard said, "Ghost Rider. I always wanted to solve mysteries with the team. Now my only mystery to solve is paying bills." Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I know that feel, bro.
Vince always has great answers.
Yeah, he does.
Luke Early at Undead Number 9 says, "Pokemon, Digimon, TMNT, Beast Wars, Darkwing Duck, DuckTales, Tailspin, Thomas the Tank Engine. Yes, I loved trains as a kid."
I loved most of those, but I never got into the whole Pokemon Digimon thing. That was more of like my brother's age group.
I totally got suckered into Pokemon. I still am.
If I had been born like a couple years later, I would have been in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't, so I was like, whatever. Yeah,
Pokemon is my jam.
But I mean, but through my brother, I knew all the original 150 Pokemon mm-hmm. off the back of my head. I still watched it with him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just never got into the card game and all that stuff.
I did.
Yeah, and you still are.
Yeah, I blame Brian.
I remember just going along with the crowd on that. Like, mm-hmm. I remember going to see the movie in the theater and getting the exclusive holographic card thing. And then having the movies on VHS. And
I just remembered my embarrassing story about the Pokemon movie. Go ahead. Sorry.
Someone gave me and my sister cards once, like packs of cards. And she got a Squirtle in hers. And I was like super jealous and took the Squirtle from her. And then... I had, like, the Pokemon Stadium N64 game. And
nice. Zach, what's this embarrassing Pokemon movie?
I was in middle school when the Pokemon movie came out. And I remember me and my two friends were like, hey, let's go see the movie. And I held a place in line while they went to go get snacks from the snack bar. And out of a theater showing, like, a... comedy or whatever, comes the girl I had a crush on, seeing me standing in line for the Pokemon movie. I'm just like, I think back and I just cringe and just like, oh.
All right. Well, Nightmare 10 said, Pokemon, Digimon, Hey Arnold, Doug, Alex Mack, Animorphs, Afraid of the Dark, Arthur, Franklin, and the Busy World of Richard Scarry.
Solomon D at SallyMan_D said Captain Planet, Ellen Strange, Batman, Kenan and Kel, Rocko's Modern Life, Darkwing Duck, and Saved by the Bell, to name a few.
Michael Bodnar at Michael_B. I had to actually count the underscores to make sure I had enough in there.
I saw you do that.
Says, not sure if anyone remembers this show but me, but I loved Ghost Rider. Love Digimon too.
Oh, there's a lot of Ghost Rider love here. Mm-hmm.
Much, much more than I thought there would be.
Yeah. Tyler Bozetsky at Tucson PR Zealot said, I'll give you 5. The Magic School Bus, Recess, any Nickelodeon cartoon, Kenan and Kel, and Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Yeah. Magic School Bus, man.
Christopher Evans at ChrisEvans17 said, I liked most everything on Fox Kids. I have a special place for Spider-Man, X-Men, Batman the Animated Series, and Animaniacs, though.
Pippa S. at JK Pippa says, Animated X-Men. Aw, yeah.
Cordell said, a couple of 90s shows I loved growing up were Spider-Man, Batman the Animated Series, Batman Beyond, Gargoyles, and Quantum Leap. I love Quantum Leap,
too. Quantum Leap's a good series. Yeah. Very, very depressing series ending, though.
Oh, yeah.
Condry at Condrea, I think, forgive me, said Sailor Moon and Ronin Warriors, even though the latter is technically 80s, both still have a huge influence on me.
Tet G at TetG17, Eric's girlfriend.
Woo!
Oh, gosh.
Fushigi Yugi.
That, yeah, maybe you should better handle this one. That's all right.
Fushigi Yugi, Yu Yu Hakusho, and Akazuken Chaka. And many more. Yes, they are all anime, which she would grow up with
yes.
in the Philippines yes. in the 90s.
Yes.
Michael P.S. Mancher at Pajama Prime said, Mystic Knights and Beetleborgs.
Yeah.
Toggy Ranger? Is that right?
Toggy Ranger.
Toggy Ranger. That's what I said. Okay, I win. Anyway, Toggy Ranger at Doug Watchin said so many. Pretty sure this all started with Mystic Knights, which I loved so much that the song brings me to in real life tears. I'm still waiting for Battle Thunder to happen. Oh. It'll definitely happen 18 years later. Kickstart that.
Better than the XNR. Anyways.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. At Sentai5 says, Marvel DC shows, Beetleborgs, TMNT, Pokemon, DBZ, Animaniacs, Digimon, Beast Wars, Pinky and the Brain, and so many more to list.
Moving on to Facebook, Steven Martinez said, hands down has to be Batman the Animated Series, Spider-Man, X-Men, as well as the other Saban shows, Mask Rider, VR Troopers, and Beetleborgs.
Ashton James Brown said, other than Power Rangers, in the hallowed days of my youth, I used to enjoy watching Pinky and the Brain, The Bots Master, Beast Wars, Dexter's Lab, Street Sharks, and Arthur. With regards to live-action shows, I was a pretty big fan of Mystic Knights of Tir na n'Og.
Juan Carlos Sanchez says, X-Men, Spider-Man, and Animaniacs. The Tick, if it was in the 90s, don't remember. Yes, yes, it was.
Yes. Mike Lundstedt said, X-Men was a big one for me. We also had Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad. Batman the Animated Series was also very good, and it still stands the test of time today. Indeed it does.
Charlie Niemeyer said, if we're sticking with Fox Kids, then it would be Tiny Toons, Animaniacs, Batman, and Spider-Man. Outside of that, there was also Superman, Batman Beyond, Pinky and the Brain, and Voltron the Third Dimension.
Kareem Samuels says, Masked Rider and the Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Robbie Eleanor says, well, I'd say as a kid, the top five shows I watched the most were PR, VR Troopers, both the Batman and Superman animated series, and the one show I watched as much and as loved as much as PR, which was The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Does that count? Sure, why not?
William Wessel said Batman Beyond, X-Men, and Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills.
And finally, Darren Mosier says, great question. I just crewed my own USS Enterprise entirely with 90s cartoon characters on the Saturday Morning Trek podcast. And we'll provide a link to that on the show page. But my favorite 90s era show has to be Gargoyles. The writing, the voice acting, the story, all top notch. That's why Goliath sits in the center chair as captain of my imaginary crew. Plus, you gotta love all the Star Trek connections with the voiceover talent.
Live long and prosper and may the power protect you. Yeah. So that about does it for our 90s trip in the past, I guess.
I want to go make some ColourPop popcorn while I drink my Squeeze It and watch Snick.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, the Squeeze It thing.
Was the purple ketchup a thing in the 90s? Or was that?
I think that was the 2000s.
Okay.
I think. Don't quote me on that.
But I do remember the color popcorn. That was weird.
Like it would pop up a random color every time, and you're just like, what? Why? But I talked about this with a friend of mine on Facebook, and we were just both like, why isn't this a thing? 90s nostalgia is at its peak. We need to be bringing back the multicolored popcorn. We need to be bringing
It was probably slowly killing us back then.
It probably was.
Like red dye number 9 and
weird stuff. Stovetop popcorn. You make it on the stove.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that was the coolest.
Yeah.
Was that with the tin foil and it would just pop up? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yeah. They still even do that
anymore? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They still make
they
those.
Do?
Oh yeah.
Ew, I need to get some then.
Yeah, I see them at Woodman's the time. I'll buy some and mail them to you.
AP, your eyes just went like, what?
No, I didn't know that was still a thing.
Yeah, that's totally still a thing.
Oh my God.
What?
I can find it then. There's like enough stores around here. I'll find it somewhere.
So yeah, that about does it for our 90s trek. And we have some huge things coming up on our show.
Yeah.
We've got a whole new format coming up with our next episode. I think you guys are going to love it. It's going to be awesome. We're trying something a little different and see how it works out.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for a while. It's a little bit of a hard decision.
Well, here's the thing, too. It comes just in time. You know, with Power Rangers going on a hiatus, we need fresh content. We need to focus on maybe something else to talk about for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that'll be on our next episode, and it'll be released maybe sooner than you think. A little bit off schedule, but I think you guys will like it.
I've been waiting for this personally, mm-hmm. So...
Oh, for a long time.
For a long time. It'll all make sense soon.
So yeah, guys, stay tuned for that. Ranger Nation, let us know what you think. If you have questions, you can email us at rangercommandpowerhour@gmail.com. You can check us out on Twitter at rangercommandph. And you can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Ranger Command Power Hour, all one word. Or you can just go straight to our website at rangercommand.com and find all of those social links and all the great content that we have on our website.
Comment on our posts, okay? Like, nobody does that anymore, and it's so disappointing.
Yeah, comment on the posts. Comment on Ranger Board and Toku Nation, where we throw up our new episodes.
Sign up for some of our affiliate stuff.
Talk about us on Reddit.
Yeah, that hasn't happened.
Ooh, that would be 14. Awesome. Yes.
I think we need to make our own subreddit, and it'll be just the three of us talking back and forth the whole time.
Why not? Why not?
Upload our own stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool stuff. And we got more cool stuff coming. Just because there's a hiatus for Dino Supercharge doesn't mean that we won't, that we're going to go away or anything. So
yeah, we'll still be here.
Yeah, we'll always be here.
We're not going away.
I've got nothing better to do. No, I'm kidding.
We're that annoying kid at school who thought that they were friends with you. But they weren't your friends.
Wait a minute. Some of us actually were that kid. Hey.
I was that kid, so it's okay.
You've been listening to the Ranger Command Power Hour, only on the Four-Eyed Radio Network. You can catch a new episode every other Saturday. Find us on the Morphing Grid at www.rangercommand.com. Follow us on Twitter at Ranger Command PH and like us on facebook.com/Ranger Command Power Hour. This is Truckee B47 from the Ranger Command Power Hour, and you are listening to the Four-Eyed Radio Network. Ranger Command is now on Patreon. Become a patron by pledging as much or as little as you like every month and receive cool perks. By pledging, you are helping us make our show even better. Go to patreon.com/rangercommandph to learn more. Thanks.
This has been another proud production of the Four-Eyed Radio Network. You want to see more shows? Go check out www.foureyedradio.com, you winkers.